So on Second Thought, I'm Adam Ragusea. Hearts broke in Georgia and across the world when Greg Allman died in May of this year at his home in Savannah. But Allman left a part of his legacy behind yet to be discovered. In the years leading up to his death, Allman and his band worked on an album at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, where the shoots of the Allman Brothers Band first sprouted in the 1960s. It's called Southern Blood, and this record is mostly of new material, and it came out earlier this month following Allman's death. Legendary music producer Don Was worked closely with Allman on the album, and we caught up with Don Was yesterday.
Hello, my name is Don Was. I'm a record producer, musician. There are a myriad of emotions I experienced making this record. There was clearly an air of gravitas around what we were doing, knowing that he probably wasn't going to be around to do interviews like this. We also had a really good time. He always wanted to make a record with his touring band that he put together. He was really proud of that band. There's a sound he always heard in his head that he felt he never got on records before. I made that my mission to help him achieve that sound. And we were getting it, and he was really happy about it.
Suddenly out of left field, out of left field.
But I could tell as we started choosing songs, he was gravitating towards songs that had some relevance to what was going on in his life. It seemed as though there was a kind of a theme emerging of Greg tying up the loose ends in his life. I think he did that. It was therapeutic for himself, as well as something that I think he really wanted to do for the fans who stuck with him for decades. Probably the most direct song on the album is what I view as really a kind of a confessional piece that Greg wrote along with his guitar player, Scott Sherrard. Opens the record. It's called My Only True Friend. And it begins with the lines, "You and I both know this river will surely come to an end.
You and I both know this river will surely flow to an end."
The thing that really struck me was that he was great in the studio. I like to sit out in the room with the musicians, and so I seated about 10 feet away from him. And I was just blown away by, you know, what a great singer he was and how he really threw himself into the vocals. The vocals you hear on this album are pretty much live vocals.
I can't face living this life alone. I can't bear to think this might be the end.
I listened to this record a lot. To be honest with you, I don't really play the records that I produced that much for recreation later. You know, that I've been wanting to play this record, and I find some comfort in it. I guess because I feel as long as that music's playing, he's still here.
Another night alone, but I see you in my dreams sometimes.
That was Don Was, producer on Greg Allman's posthumous record, Southern Blood. With me now to talk about the album and Greg Allman's legacy as one of his closest lifetime friends, he joins me in GPB's Macon studio, Chank Middleton. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing all right. And also with us via Skype is Scott Sherrard, Greg Allman's guitarist and band manager. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Scott, what's up, bro?
Jake.
Gentlemen, before we start talking about the record, I wonder if you couldn't both just tell us briefly about how you came to know Greg Allman. Cenk?
I met him in 1969 when they first moved to Macon. I was shining shoes in the barbershop next door to the studio. The studio didn't have air conditioning at that point, and they didn't have a drink machine. But right next door, we had air conditioning and a drink machine. So when they took a break from rehearsing, they would come over to the barbershop to cool off and get something to drink. And they wasn't getting haircuts, so they would all gather around the shoe shine stand with me, and I would shine their shoes, you know.
And how about you, Scott?
Well, I was raised on the music of the Allman Brothers. So I saw my first Allman Brothers concert when I was about 10 or 11 years old and never looked back. And then I met Greg personally in about 2008 when I auditioned for his band by sitting in with the Allman Brothers.
That's great. Let's talk about the new record, Southern Blood, and let's listen to another clip before we do that. This is from a song called Once I Was.
Sometimes I wonder just for a while, do you ever remember me?
There's just so many songs on this record, guys, that seem either directly or obliquely to be about the coming of death. When Greg Allman's death was announced, it was a shock to a lot of people. People knew that he had been ill for some time, but no one knew that he was seriously ill. Did he know that he was dying as he made this record, Cenk?
At this point, he did. I tell everybody, he was the person, I never heard him complain about anything. Oh, for the past 6 years, you know, they got diagnosed like, what, 6.5 years ago with it? And from his first time he was diagnosed, he never did complain. He never did even talk about it. Yeah. So when he recorded the album, to me, it was just like any other album he recorded. You know, the songs were good, everything was good. But after he passed and I heard it, it took on that same meaning to me that everybody else seeing in it now.
Yeah.
You know, he knew it was coming, but he didn't tell us. He didn't share it with us. He just bowed out gracefully. That's what he did.
Scott, when you were making it, did you know that it was either intentionally or maybe just by proximity going to be a goodbye album?
Yeah, I mean, there were only a few of us who knew about his diagnosis, and we all knew that he was kind of beating the clock. I myself was sort of in denial because he had so much power when he would perform, and I watched him suffer so much in the time I worked with him with the different complications from his ailments. And but every time he got on stage, he would transform into a lion.
And,
true. It was no different in the studio. Plus, he was so happy with our band. And like, you know, we had so many laughs. Probably to people who are listening to the record now in light of Greg's passing and everything, I mean, it would seem like we were all being serious. But with music, you know, great music is something that happens on the way to getting your next barbecue meal. It's not something you really think about. You know what I mean? Just
yes,
have a good time and you hang out and you feel it together. And when a group really gels, that was our ace in the hole. And that was what Greg would tell me all the time. Those aren't my words, you know, in terms of, you know, this was his favorite band. And in terms of our live band,
that we had. God, you were. Whew.
Yeah. So we just had a good time, man. And it's interesting because the record is heavy and intense. But yeah. We really had a wonderful time playing music together.
We're talking about Greg Allman's new posthumously released record, Southern Blood. And I'm joined in GPB's Macon studio right now by Cenk Middleton, lifelong friend of Greg Allman, and also Scott Sherrard, who was Greg Allman's guitarist and band manager and worked extensively on the album, as you can hear. Let's listen to some more music. This is Black Muddy River.
When I can't hear the song for the singer, I can't tell my pillow from a stone. I will walk alone by the black muddy river. Sing me a song.
It strikes me as we listen to this album that he his voice does sound physically weary, right? But on the other hand, he sounded like that when he was 20. He's always sounded like an old man.
Always sounded like that. You're right. Yeah.
Where did he get that from? He always sounded like this wizened old fellow.
He just had that power to, when he always said, I put it like this, he had a sciatic. He pulled a sciatic like 8 or 9 years ago.
Huh. So gave him pain in his leg and his back?
He had real bad pain, but he went out every night and performed. But he would use a walking stick to get to the stage, but he wouldn't walk out on stage with the walking stick. But once he sat out behind that organ, I mean, it was like he was brand new, okay?
Scott, did he have physical trouble in the studio on this record?
Not that I noticed. Not anything that I knew about. But again, you know, you can mask it by performing it. You wouldn't know. So it was hard to tell sometimes.
True. You know?
Did he complete the record before his death, or did you guys have more work that you needed to do on it after he passed?
Well, we had a lot of ideas for this record. There were a lot of challenges in just getting to the studio to make this record, various challenges. You know, his health, he really loved to perform live, so we were doing a lot of gigs for somebody who was struggling like he was. And then on top of it all, just keeping the whole operation going and the state of the music business the way it is now, it was very challenging. But I think that we had a lot of plans and a lot of cool ideas for this record. And what ended up happening is we ended up making, I think, his goodbye letter to his family, friends, and fans. You know, music's funny like that. You can try to, you know, or any creative art for that matter, you know, you think you could plan it out as a group, but it leads you. You don't lead it in the end, you know?
True. Yeah.
Sure. But was it finished at the time of his death, or was there more, you know, mixing or more tracking that had to be done to it after he died?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was driving at. There were things that we all wanted to do. There were some tracks that actually didn't make the record. There was another song Greg and I wrote that we didn't have time to record. Huh.
Do you think that'll ever see the light of day?
Yeah, it's going to be on my record that's coming out next year as a bonus track. So
that's great.
But you know, basically there were various things that there was a song called Pack It Up that we recorded that Greg never got the chance to put any vocals on. There were some loose ends, but in the end, there are no loose ends. I mean, that's really, you know, I'm not going to ruin it for anybody by telling them how we made the sausage. It tastes delicious. It is what it is. You know, it is what it is, man. It's a beautiful documentation of this man's last lap. And I think it's his best record since Laid Back.
I agree with you, Scott. And we can also really thank Don Walls for bringing it where it is right now, okay?
Absolutely.
He did an incredible job on his mixing and stuff. He really did.
Yeah. Let's listen to another track.
Bob Clearmountain go ahead. Mixed it. Bob Clearmountain mixed it as well with Don. Okay. I didn't know that actually, check, until I saw him in L.A. A couple weeks ago when I saw Don. We were just talking about the mixes, and he had told me that Bob had worked with him on it. So, but yeah, Don... Yeah. Don was the linchpin in it all together in the end. You know, that's what he does.
Let's listen to some more music off of Greg Allman's final record, his posthumously released album, Southern Blood. This is a tune called Blind Bats and Swamp Rats.
Blind bats, swamp rats, beating down in Mississippi by.
Great stuff. Chank, how did Greg Allman toward the end of his life feel about his early work, his stuff with the Allman Brothers, the stuff for which he will always be most remembered? Was he pleased with that legacy, or did he sort of wish people paid more attention to his late career work?
Well, he was pleased, very pleased with the Allman Brothers stuff, but he also, I mean, if you look back at the, ever since he'd been singing, when the Allman Brothers left the road, he always had a solo band. Mm-hmm. Gregory was the type of person that he had to work all the time. He couldn't take a lot of time off from work. And that's the way it was with his, ever since I have known him. Solo band, Allman Brothers. That's why you tell a lot of people that when we entered the Allman Brothers tour, you know, everybody be saying, well, we can go chill out. And I would tell them, you know, y'all can go chill out, but I ain't going to chill out because we're going right back on the road with this solo band. So I didn't get a break, you know.
Scott, was that your impression as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Greg lived to perform and be on the road. And, you know, he was also, I mean, Greg was like a real musician, you know. Don't be fooled by any of this rock star stuff that, you know, people sometimes put that on people who play, you know, popular music that they're not, you know, maybe they're not a serious musician or they're, you know, they're into the celebrity. I mean, Greg Allman was like any of the, you know, when I was a young kid, I worked with a lot of really incredible older musicians who played blues and jazz and stuff. And he was like that, you know. It was like hanging out with the real guys. There was a real depth to the experience. And he was a musician. That's why he was on the road all the time. Yeah. He was a real musician.
That's Scott Sherrard, Greg Allman's guitarist and band manager. We've also been talking to Chank Middleton, one of Greg Allman's oldest friends, and we've been talking about his final posthumously released album, Southern Blood. Gentlemen, thank you guys so much for being here.
Yes, no problem. Glad to be
here. Thanks for having us, buddy.